All right. Well, I am going to go ahead. Well, actually, why don't we go ahead and start off with you giving us the little poem in the beginning.
Oh, boy. All right. Let me pull that up. Just go for it.
Just take it away.
Okay. There is no power like a book to take us far away, nor any place we'd rather be than in the library all day.
And what's funny is that's not really what the story ends up being about.
No, not at all.
The story takes a hard right like halfway through. For a 21-page book, a lot happens by the end of this one.
Yeah, it goes from 0 to 60 very fast.
Yeah, it does. All right, I'm going to do the intro and then I'll bring in.
Okay.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're going to take a trip far, far away, depending on your, I guess, where you live. I mean, for me, it's like a 10-minute walk, but for others, it might be much further away. We're going to go to the magical world of books, the world introduced to most of us by the immortal movie, The Page Master. Starring Macaulay Culkin, where we finally learned that books are a place where you can enter into a world of your imagination. But who better to take us into that world of imagination and I guess civic politics than because again the story takes a hard right than a public librarian. And how about a public librarian from Maryland? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Maryland's own. Erin Gambrill. Erin, welcome back to the show.
Excited to be here.
Excited to have you. Now, you're quite the expert on libraries.
Am I? I mean, I've been in libraries for 16 years. And over three
meaning
counties
you've been in the you've been in like library you've been in libraries
yes.
for longer than that.
I've worked in libraries for six. I've been a librarian. Well, technically, I've been a librarian for 5 years or 6 years, but I've worked in libraries for 16 years.
Now, what is the difference between a librarian and someone who works in a library?
So it's I think anyone who works in a library can be called a librarian. Like, I think if a little kid calls you a librarian, you're a librarian. But there are people who say that you're not a true librarian until you get your master's of library science degree. And so
interesting.
I only had that for the last 6 years.
But that's like saying someone's not a doctor just because they don't have a doctor's license. Like, I say if you cut people up.
Right. Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. It is the thing, like when there's this part of in my head when people are like, look at my daughter, look at my daughter. She's been taking ballet for years. What? She's our little ballerina. And there's part of me that wants to go, actually, there's only a limited number of ballerinas in the world. That's like a status thing. Your daughter is not a ballerina.
That's right. Yeah. Librarians have to be sourced from the librarian district of France to be called a librarian. So.
Just because you have a podcast, it doesn't make you a podcaster. you have to alienate people through your podcast by bringing it up at parties. Then you're a podcaster.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Exactly. You get it.
The reason that I have Erin on and the reason we're discussing libraries and the reason you're listening to this is because it's 2017's Berenstain Bears. We love the library and they love it so much that they spell love with a giant heart instead of an O. And I mean, I don't think it would surprise any of us that Mike Berenstain comes down firmly on the side of the library.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I would like to believe that most authors would, but in today's political climate, who knows? But yes, so this is a staunchly pro-library Berenstain Bears book, a place in Beartown where we've been before, but this time we're getting a little peek behind the scenes. So. What I want to do is I want to go through the book and you'll tell me when they get things absolutely wrong.
I have actually, I found my notepad, which is like a card catalog notepad.
Ooh.
So I'm all set for my library stuff today. Yeah, so I have some notes.
Why don't you walk us through the world of the Berenstain Bears, We Love the Library.
So it starts with we find the Berenstain Bear family at home, and they're reading, and they have a little at-home library. Some of those books might, you know, be borrowed from their public library. And they talk about how they love to read, and they went through books, went through books the way most bears go through honeycomb. Mm-hmm. And
destructively.
Yeah.
I assume.
right. Ravenously. Yeah. Addictively. And so I wrote down exceptionalism. We read because there's, you know, I don't know. I talk to the odd patron or so who's like, my kid can't stop reading. We read all the time, blah, blah, blah. That's great. But like, there's always this air of like, we're better than other people because we read so much. It's like, okay, yeah. Like, sure. So I don't know. I've gotten a whiff of the Berenstain Bear family that they do find themselves to be quite exceptional. So I think this tracks.
Yes, but with them, they are exceptional.
They are. That's true.
They are the best bear family in a nation of bears, I guess. They literacy, obviously, and reading is a big part of this. They make the point pointing that out. What's funny is I work in a bookstore and did in the beginning of the 21st century as well. And you get a lot of people in bookstores who brag that they don't read.
Interesting.
They're like, now I'm not a reader.
Yeah.
But, and like you're supposed to be like, ooh, how special that you came to the store then.
Yeah.
We always found it a weird thing to brag about.
Yeah.
So there's two ends of the spectrum.
There definitely are. That's true. I do remember one time when I was in college, I went to this 24-hour diner all the time to study. And I used to go in there and study, but also just like read sometimes. And I had a man come and sit opposite me, obviously totally unsolicited. And he's like, what you reading there? Blah, blah, blah. And I was telling him. And then he goes, yeah, I don't read. I was like, oh, okay. It's just like, where do you think this conversation goes then?
Right.
Like, it's so strange.
Like, the next step would be him saying, like, would you read to me?
Yeah. I'm going to be like, how'd you find yourself in here? Like, how'd you get in?
So, yes, big readers, the bear family.
They really are, yes.
Yeah.
They traipse down to Beartown Library, where they meet Ms. Dewey. I do love that she's a Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another note. She says, you're the book readingest family I've ever seen. Now, Ms. Dewey is certainly surrounded by the English language and mm-hmm. is probably aware of how to pretty accurately navigate that. But she chooses to say the book readingest family I've ever seen. So that's wild.
She's got that like Joss Whedon-esque, like I'm making up cutesy little ways. Also, do you think she says that to every family?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just good politics. That's diplomacy.
Yeah. You're my favorite family.
Yeah. Now, when you work, so you did a lot of work in, I don't know if you still do, in like the children's mm-hmm. part of the library.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of planning, a lot of programming, and a lot of dealing with kids and families.
Yes.
Did you see a lot of families come in all together?
Yeah, definitely. There were some that would come in all together. There were some that would just be like one parent and then like a kiddo, or one caregiver and a kiddo, or two kiddos. But yeah, we definitely had. So a lot of us like have shifts that we work, like we work, you know, maybe one Saturday a weekend or like one evening a week. And so we do get some regulars in that way. Like, so like there'd be like the Wednesday night families that always come in. And so I could definitely see this happening where she would know them by name. And later we kind of find out that she may even know what they're already interested in reading.
Oh, she may. Yes.
Yeah. Which... Yeah, that's a big assumption. So, but yes. Yeah.
Well, what kind of stuff do they like to read? We get a little peek behind the intellectual curtain here with our bear family.
Yeah. So I would say, if this were me in Beartown Library, and I didn't know what they would like to read, we do what's called a reference interview, which is you ask them things that would lead them to hopefully the materials they would like to check out. So it could be they already read such and such. It's an easy, you'll also like this author or this series. Or it could be like, what movies are you into, or what cartoons are you into? And then we try to go from there. But I will say, when we go through the book, a little more, and we find out what she's recommending to sister and brother. Honey, she kind of just is like,
well, yes.
Here's the board books.
Yeah.
We got some animals. It's great. But I love that sister loves space. I also love space. So like, that's kind of cool. And brother, I feel like I know a few kids who specifically like exactly what Brother Bear likes, which are, I think she calls them stories of the past. The world of long ago. That's what she says. And so knights, gladiators, warriors. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely a few kiddos that I have come into encounter with that love that kind of stuff too. And so it's an easy kind of, toss over there. But there's also like cryptozoology is a big one. Mm. There's kids who are really into ghosts. Egypt is huge. So yeah.
I like that she says, or she doesn't say it, but it's anything with lots of swords, crossbows, catapults, and siege engines.
It's siege engines, yes.
That's, yeah. Like, brother's getting into the weeds
a
here.
A wild shout out, yeah.
But I do want to call out that Mama likes novels like Jane Bear.
Yes.
Jane Bear and Pause and Prejudice.
Yes.
And we've gotten Mike's nice little illustrations of the covers. Pause and Prejudice by Jane Bruin.
Jane Bruin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on the cover, Brother Bear is reading Moby Dick by Herman Bearville.
Yes.
Which is very cute as well. Yeah, I mean, Mama Bear is no different than me. I also love Jane Bear and Pause and Prejudice. They're pretty seminal works of feminist literature.
I noticed this before. So Bambi is written by on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
We see Honey reading Bambi. Not an appropriate novel, by the way, for a four-year-old. Bambi is an adult novel. By Felix Salten, or in the case here, by Ursus Salten.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, if you even see it, it's like a thick novel.
She's
quite in the middle of. We also see Sister reading Space Grizzlies by H.G. Bear. And I've had a chance to comment on this in the past, because it's been brought up, the fact that Space Grizzlies is the bear world's equivalent of like He-Man. It's a cartoon show with a lot of action figures and play sets. But it seems also to be Bear World's version of maybe War of the Worlds, because their H.G. Wells created it. It'd be as if He-Man had a deep literary...
That's interesting. I didn't know about the He-Man universe existing in Space Grizzlies.
Yes, Space Grizzlies first appeared in the Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream, and that's what it is.
Oh, well.
Yes, if you want to go back in time, listeners, and listen to that one, I believe Brian Skinner was the guest on that one.
Oh, excellent. Well, and then later, so when we see her in the stacks with Space Grizzlies, I do love, this was another note that I wrote, is that she got interested in, quote, telescopes and science and things like that and changed her mind. So I love her sort of vague interest in space is very cute.
But it's interesting. So you are a space person.
Yes.
One of your many interests is the history of the space program.
Yeah.
And is kind of how all that fits into, like, I mean, I know this only because I have known you now for enough years and read enough of your Facebook posts.
Yeah.
It's a big interest of yours. And when you have kids coming in looking for books like this, mm-hmm. do you notice any kind of like gender divide or any kind of hesitation on the part of one kid or another, you know, thinking that maybe these books aren't meant for them?
Most of the gendering honestly comes from parents and caregivers, and they make assumptions. I always find it really cool when I encounter a caregiver, which is happening less over my career in the library, that they're making these assumptions. And I think that parents are more open to their kiddo just liking whatever they like. I definitely have come across the odd one who's like, oh, that's not for you. That's not for girls, or that's not for whatever. I will say, though, one time there was a four-year-old who was a four-year-old little girl, and she was in with her grandparents, and she picked out like the scariest cover of like a mummy Egypt book ever, like truly a mummified human being photograph was on the cover of this. Yeah. And she was like, I really, really want to get this. And her grandparents were just like, oh man, we would totally get this for you, but we don't have our library card. And you're like, you know, your mom's coming in tomorrow, so let's just do it then or whatever. And I like loved that. I love that they were like, they didn't even like skip a beat that she was picking up this frightening yes. book. So yeah, like definitely the gender thing comes into issue, but hopefully less and less that I've seen. So yeah.
And it's a nice little character arc for a sister, because in The Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream, she did find the space grizzlies kind of scary.
Yeah.
And didn't want to really have, she was always kind of hesitant about watching the show or playing with the toys because of that, because they were a little, they're for older kids. And how they, and how Mike shows that she's overcome the fear of fictional characters through like sort of a roundabout way. Like she's like, space isn't as scary as I thought it was. Like maybe it was just the thought of like the vast cosmos that was terrifying her the whole time.
That's another thing about reading that I've not really thought of too much, is that like not only can it like expand your mind, but it can give you comfort about things that you might be afraid of. And so she's, you know, by like looking at telescopes and things like that, like she's getting more comfortable with that, which yeah, go Sister Bear. That's great.
Yeah. Now, long about this time is when we get some interesting news from Ms. Dewey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Ms. Dewey, so the family all gets their books, they go and check out, and Ms. Dewey starts to kind of give them some bad news about how they maybe need to return their books quicker than usual, because the Bear Town Council is talking about closing the library to save money. And that is something that, you know, American libraries are always in danger of. We, you know, it varies state to state, but funding comes from the federal level, it comes from the state level, and usually it comes from like a municipal, like town or county level. Maryland libraries, I have to say, is like one of the mecca states to work for. We're incredibly lucky that we're usually very well supported by our, you know, politicians and our constituents or whatever. But I remember just maybe 10 or 12 years ago up in Pennsylvania, they actually did shut down a few libraries outside of Philadelphia because of this kind of exact thing that Ms. Dewey's talking about. And they weren't shut down for long. It was kind of like a red flag that like everyone was like, oh my gosh, they're serious about this. And so then, you know, funding was reallocated. But yeah, that's like a true thing that could happen for sure.
Yeah, I'd say we're really lucky here too. Mm-hmm. The Twin Cities takes their libraries very seriously. In fact, they seem to be constantly renovating one or another. Like there's always one that's shut down because they're rebuilding it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's nice to live in a library forward area. And not just, and you know, not to go off on a tangent, but like libraries, of course, aren't just for books. There are community hubs with all kinds of resources.
They provide access to a lot of people that wouldn't have it otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. In fact, I remember years ago, I made a comment about, I said something about going to the library. This is probably like 12 years ago or so. And one of my friends said, well, with ebooks now, like, I can't imagine why we even need libraries anymore. And I was like, you go in there and you see like the people on the computers doing like stuff that needs to be done, and the many classes and events and things that go on there. There's a lot more going on than checking out books. Plus, I mean, I've never not seen people checking out books.
The print material is just as popular as it's ever been, like even with the rise of ebooks and like digital audio, which it has been great and has had its own, you know, rise, and we've kind of met that challenge. But print books are still doing great. Print materials are great.
And you can just put your finger in them when someone interrupts you.
That's right. That's right. And
still a good thing.
Yeah.
So the Bear Town Council is talking about closing the library to save money, and the Bear family gets a... And by the way, we are now more than halfway through the book.
Yeah.
They've waited until we've passed the staple line to introduce this new plot thread, which is where we're going to go for the rest of the story. Although it'll also sort of juke to the left again when we get a little history of local ballet. It gets really weird.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, she drops this news on them, and they're great. They're great library supporters. So right away, they're like, oh no, this is terrible. Like, we have to do something. What can we do? And then Papa, who has no librarian training whatsoever. and I don't know what his role in the government is. But he basically cuts Ms. Dewey out of the conversation and asks the Cubs, how would you like to be in charge of keeping the library open? And they're like, sure. And then they form this, you know, plan without any library worker insight.
Yeah. He's like,
that was when I emailed Phil and said, I have opinions about this book.
Yeah. He's like, now, if there's one person you can't trust to get anything done, it's people who work for the library.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
It is that funny thing. It's a very Simpsons thing where it's like, well, clearly this is going to be solved by the two siblings here because they are our main characters.
Yeah.
And we are now genre savvy enough in the Berenstain Bears world that we know that it's probably going to be brother and sister who fix everything. I also like to believe that, like, we're going to watch brother and sister do their canvassing. Meanwhile, the librarians and, like, the library itself is doing the real work by behind the scenes. Like, yeah, just let the kids do their thing.
Yeah, for sure.
We're doing all the diplomatic stuff and all the, like, all the political stuff that we need to do for the next meeting.
Yeah, they're rebudgeting their eyeballs out. And then, like, but while these kids are running amok with their flyers, which honestly is great. Like, boots on the ground, grassroots stuff, you know, like, raising awareness is wonderful. But yeah, I would have loved it if Miss Dewey had a little bit more investment in this decision making.
It's funny because they waited so long to introduce the storyline. Like, the community action part of it is just a single 2-page spread.
Yeah,
like, you just they Papa's holding up a piece of paper that says game plan,
right,
1 through 4, which you never find out what the game plan is.
No. Mm-mm.
And then by the end of the next page, it's time for the city council meeting.
Yeah,
it's time for the town council meeting. Which is also funny because the kids have clearly made come to the next council meeting signs. And I'm like, I would think the library would have made, maybe, like, put up something just to let people know there's a town council meeting coming up about saving the library. I don't know. Not that I'm getting onto these kids about getting involved.
Sure.
Like, this is great. Like, drum up, get your friends to get their parents to come to the meeting. They should be doing this anyway.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's great. And I think, yeah, honestly, like, the kids are probably more likely to be heard than, like, you know, a grown up or whatever. But yeah, with the quote with Papa and Mama giving advice and then they just, like, go off.
It's like, because as you mentioned, this is a budgeting thing. Like, this isn't like,
right,
this isn't like, we hate the library and I guess nobody likes it, so we're going to close them down. Like, she says, to save money, we're closing the library.
Yeah, to save money. Yeah.
So this isn't just a yay or nay, like, thumbs up, thumbs down library.
Yeah. Maybe that game plan has some, like, really great ideas about how to reallocate those, you know, budget items or whatever.
Right, right. They found out that, like, I don't know, like, Beartown's police force is getting tanks or something. And they're like, we don't need the tanks.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, big meeting time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mayor Honeypot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they all get up there. And I also say this. We've always appreciated the Berenstain Bears showing community action, like, community involvement. Like,
absolutely.
The town shows up to town meetings. They yell, they scream, they get involved. And, you know, that's you know, if you want to see change, you gotta put in the legwork. And
for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they redid the playground in one of our local parks. They removed all the equipment and they replaced it all. And there were meetings after meetings after meetings of how are we going to do this? What's going to be the new equipment? What are we going to spend on it? They go on, they go on, they go on. It gets built, and immediately after it gets built, people are like, well, I don't know why they changed it. I don't remember us having any say in this. And they're like, no, we did have a say. You could have voted like 3 times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's ad infinitum, ad nauseum. Like, that is in every town in America ever. In many Facebook groups ever.
Yes.
I do actually love that there's, like, some, like, civic responsibility that's being shown in this story that is, you know, and they do show up. Like, this is a really great image, like, a lot, you know, of a lot of folks. They're all very angry looking at the mayor, which I do feel slightly bad. Like, I don't know that Mayor Honeypot's the one who, like, called for the closure. Like, we don't know where this is coming from.
I mean, he is a really corrupt mayor.
That, like, is true, yes.
We've established that he is on the take, that he is that he is willing to look the other way for, like, some pretty nefarious stuff. That's so they true. Probably came with anger in their hearts. Anyway, what we don't seem to see is the town council.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Is it just, yeah, it's just Mayor Honeypot at the
stand. I guess
stand.
Probably that's a reason to be angry, too, is the town council is just one man. Unilateral decisions get made. He needs a new car for to keep his wife happy. The library's got to close down.
Yeah, he needs some checks and balances for sure in this town. Yeah.
And those checks and balances come in the form of a wise old lady.
Old Ms. McGriz. Yeah.
If you want a solution to a problem that doesn't seem to have anything to do with the library.
No.
I guess here's our moment.
Yeah.
What happens in this story?
So Ms. McGriz speaks up at this town hall, and she says that when she was little, that she took this book called Ballet Bear Shoes out of the library. And because she read it and loved it so much, that's why she became a ballerina.
Hey, everybody. Editing Phil here. I needed to step in and say we don't address this in the episode, but the Ballet Bear Shoes book that is being referred to kept, like, sort of tickling the back of my head. I was like, I know this is referring to something, but I just hadn't done the legwork to look it up. It's definitely referring to the book Ballet Shoes, A Story of Three Children on the Stage by Noel Streatfeild, which is a British book that got super popular. And it came out in 1936, so that would put Ms. McGriz firmly in the era. It's a Depression era story that involves kids getting interested in ballet. This character named Posey developing into a ballet dancer. The relationship she has with her sisters, and in the end, she goes off to a school in Prague. Spoilers, and becomes a successful ballet dancer. It's super popular. It was adapted into twice for television, once in 1975 as Ballet Shoes, starring Elizabeth Morgan, and then once in 2007 starring Emma Watson, Yasmin Page, and Lucy Boynton as the sisters in the story. It's also mentioned as in the movie You've Got Mail. Meg Ryan mentions the Shoes books, and so if you're wondering what that is, it's because this is not just a single story. Noel Streatfeild wrote a series of books. They weren't originally all called the Shoes books, but the popularity of the Ballet Shoes book inspired a series like Circus Shoes, Party Shoes, Skating Shoes. All became part of this series and there was like Ballet Shoes for Anna, just a bunch of shoes books that are super popular, especially, I guess, in British, UK, British children's literature. But they're still in print. As far as I know, you can find the Shoes books by Noel Streatfeild. Apparently they've inspired a whole bunch of young children, young readers to pursue like things like circus and ice skating and ballet. Just super cool. I didn't want to give them short shrift. Look them up if you're interested in classic children's literature. These are important books for a lot of people, and apparently for Ms. McGriz as well. So I don't know. Check them out. That's me. That's me going off.
And so without the library, that wouldn't have happened. And then, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, Ms. McGriz was a ballerina. And they're like, oh yeah, she totally was. Like, she was the great ballerina Grisolva, and she danced with the Berensky Ballet. And we get a whole spread of her dancing in this ballet.
So we get as much coverage of Ms. McGriz's ballet career as we do the community action.
Yeah, the canvassing. Yeah.
It's just wild. It's like, wait, what are we doing? Like, where are we
going?
That's
all they needed to hear.
It's like, but it's also like, did Mike was just like, you know what? I've been sitting on this lore for a decade. I need to somehow work in the fact that Ms. McGriz was a ballerina at some point.
I've been getting so many letters about why Ms. McGriz has an amazing ballet body. Right. And I really need to answer this question.
Some kid wrote me and said, you showed Ms. McGriz's feet once. They looked terrible. Did something happen? Did she do something destructive to her feet all through her life? Yes, she was a ballerina. Yeah.
Please explain her passion.
I was kind of hoping the story would continue along in like the Red Shoes line.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, not be a dream.
Let's just get this. Let's go dark.
Yeah, but that's all Mayor Honeypot needed. He's
I
like,
guess.
Say no more.
Yeah.
Say no more.
It literally, that's it. He's like,
yeah.
Well, okay, we'll keep it open then. Like, an old lady yep. went to the library once. I guess we'll keep it open then.
She read one book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Presumably like 70 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That she came to the library. It is really just that. The Bear Town Council voted to keep the library open, presumably just the mayor. Ms. Dewey thanked the Cubs for leading the fight.
Yeah. I mean, and we could go in deeper and assume that if she was a ballerina in the Great Berinsky Ballet, maybe she brought in some wealth to this community. Mm-hmm. And Mayor Honeypot feels like he owes her a little bit back because of that. And he's like, well, yeah. Brother, sister bear, who knows what they're going to become in the future. And,
yeah.
you know, I want more wealth to come into this, you know, my wife needs new cars, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, that's a great reasoning. I don't know. It really just shifts though. And then that's the end of it.
Also, there's literally a billionaire who lives in a mansion on a hill in this town. Where's Squire Grizzly's contribution yeah. to all of this? Like, he can buy and he owns most of Beartown. Get him involved.
Yeah. I mean, he probably does not use the library. I'll be quite honest.
I am quite sure. Show me a billionaire who reads.
Yeah. Or like doesn't, like reads borrowed books. Like,
yes.
With the rest of our peasant, you know.
Public. Can I just say, one of the weirdest plot points, I'm going off on a way off on a tangent here. But
please.
In the movie Seven, one of the plot points is they catch the killer. Well, they find the killer
yeah.
by using it like an illegal method to search his library history. They're like, find everybody who ever checked out these books on.
Oh yeah.
On like of human bondage and like books like that, like, books about the seven deadly sins and stuff like that. Well, and so they do, and they find him. And I was always just like, why would a serial killer check books out from the library? Like,
yeah.
why would a serial killer not just buy the books? Like, how hard is it to find Dante's Inferno?
Yeah.
You go into Walden Books. There's a copy of Dante's Inferno. Every kid needs to read it in high school. In any case, that's my I can't believe the serial killer went to the library rant that I've been waiting to do.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen Seven, probably before I was a librarian is the last time I saw it. And so I don't know actually how they did that. Like, we have very strict privacy laws.
Well, that's the kind of thing. He's like, so
if they got a warrant, maybe. But
he's like, well, I have a friend who works for the NSA or whatever.
Oh,
and
sure,
like,
sure, sure.
And he's like, this is very illegal. Don't tell anybody we're doing
gotcha.
This.
Gotcha. It is. He's right. Yes.
And I'm like, well, what if he just gone to, like, I don't know, B. Dalton and picked up a copy of a Somerset Maugham book? Like, that's all you yeah. really needed to do.
Yeah.
I guess if you learn nothing else.
Human bondage.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you learn nothing else from this show, if you're a serial killer, don't go to the library.
Right, right.
Buy your books.
Yeah, just buy your books. Buy them used. You could buy them from the book sale. They don't even
yeah.
go through,
oh,
with,
yeah.
you know.
Friends of the library
any
usually
kind
have
of whatever.
A,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, you could totally use the library. It's privacy. We'll protect serial killers.
Yeah, but also serial killers, maybe, like, I don't know. Maybe you don't want serial killers in the library. I don't
maybe.
Know. I don't know.
I mean,
maybe.
The dark web exists, so
yes.
hopefully they can
yes.
find themselves there. Who knows?
you're just making me think that I just really need to go to the library now.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't been. I mean, I go, but usually we have such a relaxed library system here. Like, they got rid of like due dates basically.
Yeah. You're fine. Free.
Yeah. It's essentially that, like, it's just so relaxed. It's such a great I just love our library system.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Yeah, we're fine free. That was one of the few gifts that COVID gave us, was that we finally pulled that lever. Yeah. And then the other thing was curbside pickup. We do
mm-hmm.
curbside pickup now, and it's really great.
I went to college in New Mexico, and that was the first place I ever went to where there was no fine system for the public library.
Wow, yeah.
And it was in Santa Fe, and one of my friends checked something out and returned it late. And he went up to the librarian and he said, these are late. How much do I owe you? And her response, honest to God, was, there's no late fees here. This is the land of enchantment.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
So, and I was like, wow, a library system with no late fees. And then lo and behold.
Yeah. I mean, it was very like it the percentage that it actually dumped back into our programming budget was so minimal. And the people who were hurt the most by it were families and people with children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, so it was just, yeah, it was a barrier that was not needed. So I think in Maryland, anyway, most of the libraries here are fine free.
That's interesting. So you're saying that the people most negatively affected by some sort of policy were the people who could least afford
who
to be affected
most,
by that policy?
Yeah, who needed the resources the most.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Huh. Yeah. Never heard of that happening before. What a crazy experience.
Isn't that wild? So but that's Brother Bear and Sister Bear would never let that happen. We would have gone fine free ages ago if I lived in Beartown.
So that's it. The bear. It would have been interesting if the book had ended with the library being shut down. Like that's
right.
That's pretty much it. You read that little poem at the beginning, which is basically like, "We love the library. It's so neat. Look at us read. Ha ha ha." Which is not really what the book's about. The book is really about everyone getting together and like saving their library, which everyone loves.
Information.
What?
With minimal information about what's actually happening. And then next page, flyers.
Right.
Flyers on doorsteps.
The next page, ballerina.
Yeah.
It's right, just right. one thing. This is a soap opera's worth of storyline.
Yeah.
Happening all at once. I like that Ms. McGriz was a ballerina.
Yeah, I do too. I love that she has this like rich history we don't even know about.
Mm-hmm. Just like Grizzly Grand used to be in vaudeville. And I think Squire Grizzly's wife was a singer. She was like a poor singer and then she or something and then she met Squire Grizzly. Like it's like everyone's all the women in Beartown have these like labyrinthine histories.
Love
all
it.
The men are just like, I don't know, I was just some guy.
To me, I stayed here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I'm from another small town. That seems to be that tracks as well.
Grizzly Gramps was a fit in one of the continuities. Grizzly Gramps was a stage door Johnny. And I love I love that this book series taught kids the term stage door Johnny as he would like wait for Gran to come out of her dressing room with like a thing of flowers in her hand.
Oh,
like the movie Chicago.
Yeah.
Like he's just like. Like, and she's just like, I'll be out. And she's like dating two guys because she was dating a clown as well. Like, it was such an intense history.
I love that.
I just love that Beartown's got this like sort of like seedy underbelly.
Yeah,
sort of
totally.
Like, you know, like the vaudeville. Like a history
of vaudeville.
Where
else do these kids know about vaudeville? Yeah.
Right.
And now they know about siege engines.
Yeah, so. Siege engines.
Books
vaudeville.
Really do open up a world of knowledge to folks.
But that's it. Do you have any final thoughts on the Berenstain Bears? We love the library.
I don't think so. I think we captured the whiplash, page turning narrative that this was. I mean, I'm clearly pro library. I'm mm-hmm. glad to learn that the Berenstain Bears are as well.
If we have any listeners who haven't gone to the library in a long time, maybe they don't even know where their card is. Maybe they don't have a card. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't even belong to their library system. How would you suggest people get back into going to the library?
So a couple of ways. One is just to go to your library's website and see what you can see from there. Like maybe you can't go in person for whatever reason, but just by going to the website, that increases traffic on the website and that adds to stats that our, you know, public libraries report back to their states and like can increase funding or hold secure funding. But if you want to go a step further, see if you want to borrow something, you know, digitally. And so you could usually get a library card even temporarily through their website and then maybe go into a branch and actually get a library card that way. And a lot of libraries, they stream music and movies and audiobooks and ebooks, comics. I read a lot of comics through some of the apps that we have. And so, yeah, like I don't have children. And so I say all the time, like, if I weren't a librarian, I don't know how much I would physically be in the library, but I would totally be using these digital resources. But also, I don't have children, but I care about children. So if you care about children, definitely pay attention to stuff like this, like what Brother and Sister were paying attention to with the town hall. Like, maybe pay attention to what your Board of Ed is doing, because sometimes things aren't really happening in the public library to be alarmed about, but things are certainly probably happening in your school libraries that are being, kind of nuts and could trickle over into your public library. It's kind of a scary place right now with censorship and stuff. So just, pay attention and show up if you can show up, or sign a petition, or go and check out your library.
Yes, very nice. That's exactly the kind of material I'm looking for on this show.
Excellent.
A nice soapbox. And once you get experience with library, you can level up and start doing interlibrary loans.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the next, what do they have, 120 miles away in this library
system. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'll wait 6 weeks to get an obscure book about the history of giallo films, of course.
Yeah, and the binding is barely being held together with two rubber bands. That's how you know you're a choice patron, for sure.
Maybe one day you'll get to go in the stacks and see the movable shelves. Hey.
That's right. Yeah. See where the vertical files are.
Mm-hmm. Well, Erin, thank you so much for being on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.
It was great. For everyone else, you can catch me on YouTube. Just go to my YouTube channel, Phil Gonzalez. You can see all of my podcasts. I post them up there. My other two are Pizza Toast with Christy Admiral. We're on a little bit of a break right now, but we'll be picking up with the entire Freaky Friday series, all the books, all the movies. We're gonna go Mary Rogers crazy. And it's Del Toro time with my kid Willow. We're covering all the stories in The Dark Descent by David G. Hartwell. We'll be back with some spooky goodness as soon as we can get around to recording the episode. So but otherwise, Erin, thanks once again.
Thank you. It was great.
And I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.